I wonder if you remember waiting for this morning when you were 6 years old. You remember that? It just took forever, didn't it? See, I'm born in September, and my birthday through the year would just never come. And then those months between September and December, I'm telling you, back in those days, they had 10 months between September and December. That's the way it was. I'm certain of it. Somewhere they changed it as I grew up. And now there's only like 2 weeks. I'm sure of it. If you catch those calendar guys, let me know, because that's the way it's happened for me. I'm sure that's how it was. It just seemed like every day was a million years long. You know? Weeks just never ended. I think about that first Noel. You know? There was the whole angels thing, you know? All the angels coming down singing. There was the shepherds. Not too long after that, they went to the temple, and there was Simeon and Anna, right? You know, and they told their prophecies. Then the wise men came. Can you imagine what that would have been like? Following the star. Wow. How exciting that first Christmas must have been, right? And then they went down to Egypt. And Christmases started going by. The second Noel, the third Noel, the fourth Noel, the fifth Noel. You know? And they kept going by. And they came back to Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple when he was 12. Now 12 Noels have gone by. And he spent time with the doctors of the law there, asking them questions that all their learning couldn't answer. And the 13th Noel went by, and the 14th, and the 15th, and the 16th. You know, the 16th, right? Yeah. And they kept going by. One by one, they would go by. And I wonder how hard it was to wait when it came to the 22nd, the 23rd, the 25th. What was it like for the 27th Noel for Jesus to wait? He knew it was supposed to happen. He knew it was coming. He knew that the prophecies were sure. He knew all of these things. We'll look at them in a little bit. And yet, how hard was it to wait? And then there was Israel. They had waited thousands of years too. And John the Baptist. How hard was it for him to wait? I'm supposed to be the forerunner. So when do I go? When do I go? He's got to be coming soon. When can I get loose? When can I go? I'm just so anxious. And 24 goes by, and 25 goes by, and 26 goes by, 27 goes by. Wow! How long do I have to wait? What did John have to go on as he sat there at the 27th Noel saying, how long? What's going on? When is he coming? Let's open our Bibles, please. Because John had evidence, didn't he? Didn't John have evidence that Jesus was coming? That he knew who he was? That he knew what his work was going to be? Didn't he have some evidence? Let's take a look. Let's look at our scripture reading for today, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 1. Comfort, yes, comfort my people. Whose people? My people, God calls us. My people. That's who we are. We're God's people. We're not just out there doing our own thing. We're not just every man for himself. We're not just looking out for number one. We're God's people. We're different. We have a purpose. We have an identity. We know who we are. We're God's people. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. What? Come on. What does that mean? That her warfare is ended. That her iniquity is pardoned. Ah, now we're starting to get to it. Why? The Savior was about to come. Right? This was the message that John was to deliver. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. We need to make sure that our sins are pardoned. And the Lord will be there for us. Verse 3. The voice, John called himself. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. John could look at that and say, I know I have a purpose. I know who I am. I know what I'm about. I know why I'm here. I know what my message is. Prepare the way of the Lord. How about Malachi? He had evidence in Malachi. Turn with me, last book of the Old Testament. Just before the book of Matthew that tells Jesus' story. Malachi. Malachi chapter 4. Last chapter in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4. Last two verses of the Old Testament. Behold, I will send you whom? Elijah. I will send you Elijah the prophet. What did Jesus say about John the Baptist? And if you will receive it, this is Elijah who was to come, right? Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And what will he do? He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. He had evidence that God had given him a mission, a work. John knew that this was true, and yet here he was on the 27th Noel going, where is it? When's he coming? When's it going to happen? How many more years do I have to wait? How long will it be? He studied these things. He knew it. He stayed close to the Lord in his work. And yet, here he was. The Lord's messenger, the Lord's forerunner. Out where? In the desert. Look with me in Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 begins the story of Jesus, John the Baptist. And here he is, John the Baptist, the last verse of chapter 1 in the book of Luke. So the child, talking about John the Baptist, grew and became strong in spirit. John the Baptist studied Scripture. He stayed true to God. He kept a relationship with God through all of those long years that it seemed like nothing was happening. No more angels in the sky. No star. No shepherds come running up. No wise men. Just silence. And through all of those long years, John the Baptist continued his relationship with the Lord. And it also says he was in what? The deserts. till the day of his manifestation to Israel. And so here's John the Baptist out there in the wilderness, kind of the low rent district, if you know what I mean. He's out there, he doesn't even have real clothes. You know? What's he got? This hides and stuff? And what's his food? Is he going down to Mickey D's? Not exactly, huh? He's got to go out and forage for his food each day. Is this your plan, Lord? Leave me out in the wilderness? Wondering where my next locust comes from? What is that? Oh, yeah, I'm the great prophet that was talked about by Malachi. Sure, yeah, I'm the one Isaiah talked about, Looks like that to me. Where's my next drop of honey coming from? How do I know? What's going on, Lord? Is this the way it's really supposed to be? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? I thought I was supposed to be, you know, out there preaching and stuff. Thought I was supposed to be doing something great, and here I am, the 27th Noel, and nothing's happening. How long? How long? But something changed. Something happened for John the Baptist. Look a couple of chapters over, chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Something changes. Take a look. You can see the temptations that John was tempted with out there year after year in the desert. But something changed. Luke chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of something really long and nasty to say. Verse 2, are you with me? While Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God, What happened? The word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Where was John still? In the wilderness. He was still in the wilderness, but something happened. The word of God came to him. The Holy Spirit was moving in his life, wasn't he? God was doing something in his life. It wasn't just the same anymore. Verse 3, and he went. What did he do? He went. He went out. He made an effort. He got started. He listened to God's voice, and then he went out. The Holy Spirit moved in his heart, and then he went. He didn't wait. He went. He'd done his waiting. Now he was going. You see the difference? And he went into all the region around the Jordan, doing what? Preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. John was called to a work for the Lord when God had that time for him. When God moved in his heart, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, then he went. You see that progression? Something had changed. Something had changed. How was it for Jesus? How was it for Jesus as he sat there year after year after year? Why, even at 12, he knew what his work was, didn't he? Didn't he know what he was supposed to do at 12? Didn't he even say, I must be about my Father's business? Exactly. Exactly. He knew what he was supposed to do. God, come on, let me get to it. But 13th Noel came, and 14th, and 15th, and 16th, and 18th, and 22nd, and 26th, and 27th Noel, and he's still sitting there. Sawing away. Nail in the wood. Clunk, clunk, clunk. still in the carpenter shop year after year after year. Lord, how many tables do I have to build? How many benches? How many chairs? How long do I have to keep this up? What's the point? Why am I doing this? What's it all about? Is this about building tables and chairs? Come on. Why am I still here? The 27th OL, how long? He had evidence, didn't he? Woo! He had so much evidence. Think of all the prophecies of the coming Messiah. Genesis 3:15, you know what that one says, right? You know? Put enmity between... Yes, between thee and the woman and between her seed and your seed, right? And what about Micah 5:2, you know? And thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, right? Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come he who is, what? To be ruler in Israel, right? And what about that prophecy in Isaiah 7:14, where it talks about a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, right? All kinds of prophecies about Jesus, right? But here he was in Jerusalem, the great city, the place where the temple was. Is that where Jesus grew up? Nope. How about in Bethlehem, David's own city? Is that where he grew up? Well, he was born there, but it's not where he grew up. No, he was in Redneckville. He was in Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come on. I mean, look at that. Woo! Redneck. Can you believe this? He comes out of this podunk place way up north where nothing good can come out of there. It's a terrible place. Low rent district. That's where he was, stuck in the backwaters, some eddy in the current there. And there he is. How long had it been since the close of the Old Testament? Hundreds of years and nothing's happened. And now something's going to happen? Well, yeah, there was that excitement on the first Noel, right? But now it's the 27th Noel. Is this serious? You see the temptations that could have come to Jesus too? Even with the evidence that he had, there was a lot of temptations, weren't there? But something happened. Something changed. Let's read about it. Let's take a look. Luke chapter 3 again. Are you with me? Luke chapter 3. Are you with me? Verse 21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, what happened? The heavens were opened. The heavens were opened. Wow, look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. God was moving in his life. God was coming into play in human history. God was making a difference. Beautiful things going on here. Beautiful things. Keep reading. Keep reading. And a voice came from heaven. A voice. And this wasn't just a voice that said meaningless things. Look at what this voice said. You are my beloved Son. The Son of God. In you I am well pleased. Wow. And so he went there, he prayed, he was baptized, and while he prayed, the heavens were open, The Holy Spirit came on him like a dove. A voice came down from heaven saying, "You are my beloved son." And then what happened? What did Jesus do then? What did Jesus do? Take a look with me. He returns, chapter 4 now. You remember the Spirit took him out into the wilderness. But look what happens next. Chapter 4, verse 14. After he's tempted and everything, look what happens in verse 14. Then Jesus returned how? In power. Jesus returned in power. This was not just Jesus going, "Hi." Right? He returned in power. What kind of power? Power of the Holy Spirit. That's right. This was not just something he worked up. This was the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, this work will never be finished if it's in our power. You agree with that? Are you sure? You're positive now. Let's get serious then. Here we go. If it was tough on John on the 27th Noel, and it was tough on Jesus on the 27th Noel, how about you and me when it's been 2,000 Noels? Are we tempted to say, "Lord, here we are out in the wilderness. I got to forage for my food. I'm in the low rent district of the universe. Some little backwater place, some little dirty speck out in space somewhere." How hard is it for us to keep our focus, to realize that Christmas wasn't just something that happened 2,000 years ago, but brothers and sisters, it has to happen to us each day. That we need to keep this going. You see, John kept close to the Lord. Jesus kept close to the Lord, even when they had temptations to say, "Why should I try? I'll just hang out here in the wilderness. I'll just hang out here in the carpenter shop. I'll just hang out in my office and make the best of it." 27th Noel, 28th Noel, it just keeps coming. And when's it ever going to end? When's he coming? When is the promise of his coming? When is Jesus coming? When is God coming? When is he fulfilling his prophecies? Brothers and sisters, we can be right on the edge of it and still be sitting there going, "When's it coming? When's it coming?" 27, 28, 29... Nothing's changed. No angels in the sky. No wise men. What's different? Something's got to change, doesn't it? Do we have evidence that we are God's people? Absolutely. Absolutely. Turn with me, Revelation. Turn with me, Revelation. I want to remind you who you are. I want you to remember who you are. I want you to remember why you're here. I want you to think about who you are. God's people. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. Then I saw another angel. Another angel. You are not represented by a worm. Uh-uh. You're not represented by a mouse. You're represented by a mighty angel, one of which took out 185,000 of the enemy army. An angel, God's messenger, that's you. We have a message. We have a purpose. We are God's people. And I saw another angel, where? Flying in the midst of heaven. This is not a message that crawls along the earth sucking up dust. We're flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to do what? To sit in the wilderness and ignore? Is it to sit in the carpenter's shop and bang out one more table? One more chair? Is that what we're all about? Banging out tables and chairs? Are we like everybody else doing nothing but what we call our profession? Is that what it's all about? If so, why do we even come here and celebrate Christmas? If it's nothing more than anybody else, forget Christmas. It's useless. Ooh, stony silence. Isn't it true, though? Because if we are going to be just like everyone else, and Christmas is nothing more than going to Walmart, then what's this everlasting gospel all about that we have to preach? If it's not about a Savior who came to this world. That's what it's all about, isn't it? We are the people that God has called for this time. The closing message. God's message for the end time. That's who we are. That's what we're about. And it's tied up tight with the coming of Jesus the very first time. Because that's the everlasting gospel. You see? That's what it's all about. But here we are, sitting in the wilderness. What's going to make the difference for us? Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. Beginning with verse 1. After these things I saw what? Another angel coming down from heaven. Ooh, ooh, look at what this angel does. Look at this. Another angel coming down from heaven. Where'd he come from? From heaven. This is not an angel that just came creeping in unawares. You might entertain one of those once in a while, but this isn't the same angel. This one's serious. This one's coming direct from heaven to us. This is the angel that brings a message. And we have, ooh, great power, great authority. This angel is not just here to build tables and chairs, not just to eke out a livelihood in the wilderness. This angel is breaking the mold. This is taking us from the 27th Noel to the 30th. This one's to make a difference. This angel has a message for us, having great authority. And what happened to the earth? The earth was illuminated with his glory. Brothers and sisters, you and I have a message that is to go around the world, to illuminate the world. This is not a message of darkness. This is not a message that can be hidden. This is a message that goes out to the whole world and they take notice. God's light. God's light. The earth was illuminated with his glory and he cried, ooh, yeah, mightily. Some of you may not have that. Look at your Bible. Some of you may not have that word in there. Mightily. This angel cried mightily. And if you don't get it with mightily, it's okay. Because he cried with a loud voice. He has a message that cannot be ignored. Do you remember on that first Christmas? Do you remember on that first Christmas there was shepherds sitting out there? They were sitting under the streetlight, weren't they? No. You don't think so? No streetlights? Oh, they had one of those generators gone with the big, you know, lights out there. No. What was it then? If it wasn't lit up, it was dark. It was dark. Moonlight was the best they had. That's it. moonlight was the best they had. How bright do you think that company of angels was when they came out there and started singing? Whew. Can you imagine? How loud do you think that was? So that group of angels, when it came down to announce the first coming of Christ, illuminated the earth with their glory, and they were speaking with a loud voice. You see, we have a message, brothers and sisters, the message of the second coming of Jesus that is so intimately wrapped up with His first coming because it's the everlasting gospel from end to end. It's the message of Jesus Christ. That's our message. And we need to get out of the wilderness. We need to stop building tables and chairs. We need to have the Holy Spirit in our lives like we saw with John, like we saw with Jesus. Now we need to see with God's people today. That's what we're all about. How is that happening? How is that change going to take place? What's your 2011 look like? Want to pull out your calendar? Check it out. What's your 2011 look like? Does your 2011 look like 2010? Like 2009? Like 2008? Like the 27th Noel? Does it all look just the same? Year after year after boring year, what's going to make the change? What made the change for John? What made the change for Jesus? Is that going to be allowed to make a change for us in 2011? That's the key. That's the key, brothers and sisters, because Jesus could have come ere this, right? You know that quote, don't you? Is 2011 going to be like 27? What's it going to be like? What's it going to be like? What's going to make the difference? Are we going to allow that change to happen in us? Or are we going to continue to want to build tables and chairs? That's our question, isn't it? That was the question when Jesus came the first time. That's our question today. We're giving all kinds of opportunities for you to make a difference this year. I'm stacking them in right here at the beginning. The Lord has seen fit to give us several opportunities. Next Friday, 5 p.m., we're going to be right here. We're going to be right here next Friday night, 5 p.m., because it'll be just before Sabbath comes in. That will be the new year. Right? So we want to gather here next Friday night and pray. No, I didn't put it in the bulletin. It's not in there. If you don't want to come, don't come. Okay? I don't want you to feel like, oh, it's in the bulletin. I got to go. If you want the Lord to make a change in your life, come. If not, it's cool. It's all right. It's okay. And then, beginning January 5th, we have Operation Global Rain. From the 5th to the 15th, we are going to be on our knees. We're going to be seeking the Lord, seeking the Holy Spirit, seeking to have a difference in our lives because we've come to the Lord. We've asked Him to make a difference. Not because we can make any difference, but He can. You see, the angel that lights the earth with His glory comes from heaven, not from us. It's not about us. And so the 5th through the 15th, we'll be having prayer. every morning, really early for you morning people, and then every night for you night people. We got it covered. And if you're an afternoon person, call me. And then on the 8th, isn't it the 8th? On the 8th, we have something connected with our Net 2011, a connection that is preparing the church for a year of evangelism, not for 1 month at the end. Does that make sense to you? You follow where I'm going with this? That it's about us being God's people all year long. And we want to prepare for that. And so we've got a lot of exciting things ready to go for this new year. But we have to remember in all of these things, it's God who makes a difference. It's God who makes a difference. Like it was with John, like it was with Jesus. It seems like forever that we've waited for Jesus to come, isn't it? When will Jesus come? John knew it. Jesus felt that temptation to doubt too. And I know you have as well. I know you've been tempted to think it's just the same old, same old. But let's make 2011 the new and different, the change for God. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we were so excited to see the first Noel, but Lord, we want to see the last Noel on this earth. We want it to be over. We want it to be finished. We want to see Jesus come like He came the first time, only this time, coming in power, coming in the clouds. And every eye will see Him. Father, we long for that day. And we see the evidence, Lord, that we are the people of the last day message. We want to be ready to give that message, Lord. We want to be prepared. We want 2011 to be different, to be the new. But we know that we cannot do it of ourselves. And so we ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us, to make us your people giving your message, to be your people giving your message, Father, in your strength. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name.